give you all the glory, Lord, all the honor. You may be seated. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus makes a profound and powerful statement. He said to them all, that means he's talking to us. Everybody say, God's word is the Lord talking to me. Amen. We ready to receive what he says. He said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So the question begs to us, what's the cost to follow Christ Jesus, our Lord? We've often said, we've shared that you receive Jesus is free, but to follow Jesus costs you. To receive Jesus is free, but to follow Jesus costs you. Now let's look at that same verse out of the Amplified Classic Version. It says, and he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself, look at this, disown himself, forget, lose sight of himself and his own interests, refuse and give up himself. That's pretty drastic, right? Dramatic. And take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me. Conform wholly to my example in living and, if need be, in dying also. Everybody say, thank you. Everybody say, help me, Lord. See, the cost of fully follow Jesus Christ includes and entails four things, as we see it outlined from this profound and powerful statement of Jesus. Number one, self-denial. Everybody say self-denial. Sacrifice. Number two, submission. Number three, and service. Number four. Self-denial, sacrifice, submission, and service. Now, some people think you're cursing in church when you use those words. But that's what Jesus said. He's the head of the church, right? He gave us the condition, the cost conditions of following him fully. Self-denial just simply means forbearing to gratify one's own appetites, fleshly cravings, or desires. Forbearing to gratify one's own appetites, fleshly cravings, or desires. Sacrifice is defined, it means to offer God in homage or worship, to express thankfulness, to surrender or suffer something, to be lost for the sake of obtaining something, to devote with loss. In other words, sacrifice means we give and offer God something and not just expect God to give or sacrifice something for us. It is something we give God, not just get from God. Everybody say sacrifice. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago when I started this series about true spirituality becoming a Romans 12 Christian. We're talking practical how-tos. Jesus started it with this concept that we just read in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. That's why a lot of people didn't follow him after he was risen from the dead and told them, go to the upper room and be submissive. He appeared to 500 people, but only 120 showed up in the room. 380 didn't want to sacrifice their time to go pray and wait for the Holy Spirit. Amen. They weren't submissive to the Lord's instruction. Are you listening to me? So sometimes we got to sacrifice ourselves. We got to get ourselves out of the way. Amen. Submission is the act of yielding to power or authority. The surrender of the person to the control and command of another. We said it a couple of weeks ago. that we, you know, our statement in the morning should be somewhat around about like this: Lord, I'm yours to command and control. Who's controlling your time? Who's controlling your clock? And who's controlling your calendar? Amen. Submission is a yielding to one's will to the will or the appointment of a superior without murmuring. So we say we always submit with style, in style, with a smile. That means our flesh typically doesn't want to do it. Our feelings are telling us don't do it. But what do? We still do it. In style, with a smile. Yes, sir, I'll do that. God, Jesus was telling us it's not easy to follow me. It's going to cost you something. Amen. Service is defined as the labor of body or of body and mind performed at the command of a superior, or the pursuance of duty, or the benefit of another. That means in the kingdom, we're not about self-service. In the kingdom, we're about others' service. We're first called, created, and commanded to serve God with our time, our talent, our treasure, our testimony. One of the primary purposes Jesus outlined in Acts 1:8 about receiving the Holy Spirit, that you will be a witness unto me. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and you'll be a witness. That means you'll work for Jesus. Are you listening to me? So our service is vertical to God. So you basically tell the Lord, anytime, anywhere, and anyhow, Lord, I'm yours. Use me as you choose. I serve without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. I serve you without hesitation, reservation. I'm at the gas station. I'll serve you, Lord, without hesitation, reservation, or limitation. I'm in HEB or Walmart. I'll serve you, Lord, without hesitation. Yeah, I got to get these things and go back to the house. But the Lord may have you to stop for a moment and share a story of hope with someone who's in need. Or pause for a moment when you're checking out and say, they need you to tell them how good I am, and then give them, you know, $40 to help them with their groceries. Amen. Or as, you know, we've seen those movies or been in experiences in restaurants or hotels where they say, I'm at your service. That's not stated a lot today, because most people are into what? Self-service. It's all about me, what I want, what I need, what I want to eat. It's good practice. Test yourself this whole week. How many times you should express to other people first, what do you like to eat? What would you want to eat? Because you got to train yourself not to be so self-serving and self-centered. What would you like to eat? What would you like for me to cook you? Oh, Pastor, don't cuss me like that. Be focused on other people. You know, there's 13 major one another scriptures in the New Testament. And Wednesday night, we emphasizing love one another. That's a big deal. But how do you love people without serving them? You benefit one another. Don't ring the bell and say, everybody wait on me hand and foot. Pick up my clothes after me. Wash my laundry. Cook my meals. Clean my house. That's not what Jesus was talking about. That was the very opposite of what Jesus was talking about. Is everybody here or are we going home already? I know I teach longer than Pastor Cynthia. She's very good. But praise God. I got to teach you something this morning. I think she was closing out about this time. I don't know. All right, let's go to Romans 12. Because we're talking about how to become a Romans 12. So today we're talking about going to talk about how to become, how to come to grips with the real you. Who are you? We'll try to make it real plain and simple. Romans 12, 1 and 2, we're going to read verse 2 verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Everybody say, praise the Lord. So we started first Sunday in September. We started with how do you get the best from God? And what does God want the most from you? Excuse me, that was the first one. What does God want the most? And then number two was supposed to be, but, you know, I was not here, but how to get the best from God. So how do you get, how to give God what he really wants the most? Verse one. We'll talk about that in a second. And then verse two tells how do you get the very best from God? Verse two. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Everybody said, not conformed, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So the first emphasis we made was total commitment. We use the word surrender, but a lot of people kind of rebuffs or repels against surrender because they feel like they have to give up something. You know, I don't want to just give up everything. No, we're talking total commitment. That probably hits you a little bit better, but it's really surrender. We use the illustration when Dre was here, Dre and Monty, you give yourself to God. In other words, you give your body to God. Amen. We said total commitment or total surrender, however you want to call it, whatever you're comfortable with, is the channel through which God's biggest and best blessings flow. Now, verse 2, the point was, is not conformation, but total transformation. So what you do with your body is give it to God. What you do with your mind is you become transformed in your thinking. Conformed, and I'm going to use a couple of, Dre and Donnie, you guys get your shoes ready and get yourself situated. You give them a warning here. And then I want them to come up. Come on, guys. Hurry up. I ain't got all day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to have Sister Tracy come help me. All right. So I got two masks here. You guys can stand. Come on, give these guys a hand. So conform is a word that means to masquerade. This is like a masquerade mask. So pick one, Dre. You're going to pick the black one, okay, and red one. So Tracy's going to help tie it on to your face. So the word conform, as she's doing that, means to masquerade or to put on a mask. Now, how many of y'all felt crazy? I mean, it was crazy when they said mask mandate, right? Covering up your face. You know, of course, you can't hardly breathe. And we now discovered more light about that truth, right? Masks don't really help much at all. But anyway, not to belabor that point. So it means to masquerade or put on a mask or like you're an act. So these are like you're going to act out another character. In other words, this is what this means. Because, see, these two represent two kinds of masks that most Christians put on. Can you see, buddy? All right, there you go. All right, make sure you can see through the eyeball. In other words, we conform to the beliefs, values, and world standards and behaviors and customs of the world. One, this red one represents, turn around this way, Donnie, that way. Look at everybody. Wave at everybody. Wave at everybody. Okay. This one's red because you want attention, and usually self-attention. It's pride. This one's black. Turn around at Drake. Wave at everybody, Drake. All right. This one's black, and it represents pity, self-pity. Both of them have things in common, which is what? Self. Now listen to very closely. Listen to as we're reading. In other words, we conform to the beliefs, values, and world standards and behaviors and customs. We mask who we are in Christ. This is what happens when you conform and don't transform. You basically mask who you are in Christ, the real you. See, we're talking about how to get a grip on the real you. As a Christian, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, if any man be in Christ, not just be at church, but be in Christ, he's a new creation. We said you'd look a whole lot better in Christ than outside of Christ. So you mask, you muzzle, you mute, you minimize who you are in Christ and who you are in the body of Christ when you put on a mask or you act like the world. You conform to the thinking, behaviors, and beliefs and values and customs of the world. So God does something with your spirit, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, but he's making you responsible to do something with your body and with your mind. You got to change the way you think. So you are in Christ. You are in the body of Christ. You don't think on higher things when you have a mask on. You don't put on the mind of Christ. You conform instead of transform. Praise the Lord. Now let's give these guys a hand. Here you go, Donnie. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. And Tracy? No, here you go. You help her. I needed your help. Thank you. Bless you. Praise God. Give him a hand again. So Romans 12:1 tells us to live differently. How do you live differently? You give your body to God. You don't let your body go to waste. You know, I had a lot of time to reflect on this in the hospital. You know, I asked God a lot of questions. You know, why? You know, what's going on here? And he says, it's important that your body stay strong and well. Why? For me to use your body. See, if your spirit has to be subjected and succumb to the weaknesses of your body, it's an indication you hadn't given your body to God, because your body belongs to God. He said, glorify him in your both your spirit and your body, which is God's. Now, some people say, well, you know, I don't abuse my body with drugs and drinking and alcohol, but maybe you're overindulging in stuff you shouldn't be eating. We all should be moving toward health and holiness in this body. Amen. Health and holiness in this body. Amen. Praise God. Everybody here? So are you all in? Giving God your body means I'm all in. I'm at your service, Lord. I'm totally committed to you. Because I'm not moved and limited by my feelings. Because those usually come up in your body, right? I don't feel good. My stomach doesn't feel good, so I can't serve the Lord today. I got a headache, can't feel good. How many of you know even pastors have to press through headaches and stomach, gurgling stomach, and dizziness and stuff like that? You gotta speak to your body. You know, sometimes you have to say, I feel good, I feel fine. That's a faith statement. Now, body, get in line. I feel good. I feel fine. Body get in line. What do you got to do with your soul, your mind? Sometimes you got to tell your mind, I have the mind of Christ. Or you're going to have to scream at the devil and say, Satan, leave me now, and shout. Get that depression and discouragement off of you. Are you listening to me? See, verse 2 loudly tells us to think differently. Total transformation. It's not in conformation, being conformed, because Satan's always trying to pull God's people into conformity to his way, to his world system. You spend so much time on Google and social media than in the Word, then that's probably not a good idea. And that probably didn't originate from God. Are you listening to me? I'm just being straightforward about it. Transformation, the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Listen to what Romans 8, 5, and 6 tells us. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about the things that please the Spirit. New Living Translation, I'm reading. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to what? Death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. So what does that mean, brothers and sisters? It's a matter of life or death. How we think or how we are thinking is bringing us to life or death. Philippians 2:5 says this way in the Amplified Classic, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you. Now, if it says let, that means you have to let it. Now, you can choose not to let it, but it's very important that we follow the instructions with let the mind of Christ be in you. Think Jesus' thoughts. You have redeemed and saved brains because of the gift of Jesus. So I get to think like Jesus thinks. You know that little bracelet or little statements, what would Jesus do? We should create one that says, what would Jesus think? Somebody get a clip. Somebody got to laugh or do something. What would Jesus think? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. That means Jesus never walked around thinking his own thoughts. He said, I only say what I hear my Father say. Only do what I see my Father do. He didn't go into different crowds and different teachings. Let me tell y'all my opinion. Let me tell y'all what I think. He only told them what he heard and what he saw from his Father. Hallelujah. Jesus' mind and attitude was three things primarily. It was selfless. It was submissive. Remember, he took on the form of a slave. That means I don't have an opinion. I don't have any options. I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. Now, I know many people think I'm the big boss of the hot sauce. I got to have the last word. I got to have the last say. But see, that's not Jesus' way. Amen. And he was secure in being a slave, being a servant, and living his life fully subjected and serving God and secure in that role. Amen. Colossians 3:1-2, Amplified says, if you then have been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher thing. On not on the things that are on the earth. So you can tell if you're thinking high or if you're thinking low. you know, we ought to have one of those scanners at the door. Am my thoughts and my words up or down? We go beep, 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 beep. Down thoughts, down words. Because that determines. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Where the mind goes, the man or the woman follows. Amen. All right, let's read some more. Romans 12. I'm going to read verse 1 again through 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Y'all getting something out of this today? You present your bodies, a living sacrifice. Present your body. That means your spirit has to offer that body to God. But if your spirit's weak and spiritually anemic and spiritually dehydrated, you're not going to offer your body's going to be running the church show. It's going to go, I'm doing what I want to do. I'm doing what I feel like doing. You present your bodies. Transfigure body. By living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Amen. And acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Praise God. For I say, verse 3, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think. Now there we go, going back in our thinking again. Of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we all have, we have many members, in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, as so we, being many, are one body in Christ, have individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us now use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in the proportion of our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality or generosity, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So each and every one of us have gifts, callings, and graces from God. And that enables us and empowers us to live differently. So you shouldn't live the same before Christ after you have received Christ. There should be some sacrifice and focus because of the empowerment of God and the enablement of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to say, I can put that down. Because if you can receive Jesus, then you have the goods to receive everything that comes from him. And that comes with living for him. Amen? See, sacrifice and focus are two abilities that your giftedness will not provide you. In other words, you can't be lazy. Because if Jesus said to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, follow me, that means you can do it. Everybody say, I can do it. And some people say, well, I can't do that. Because they say, I can't deal with my body. Or I can't change my thinking. You know, you're almost like, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can. You can discipline your body. And you can renew your mind. Somebody say, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can't lose weight. Who's telling you that? Who's telling you can't sacrifice and focus? Pastor Cynthia has lost a good number of weight. I'm not going to tell the amount because I don't know if she wants me telling it. Okay, she's lost over 50 pounds. I'm over 10, not as much, but my pants are falling down, so I had to get some more pants. So when you lose weight, you got to believe God for more pants and clothes. She's done that. She started shopping for new stuff now because everything's big on her. You can, everybody say, I can. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So being lazy, and we always say it on the job, you know, that puts you in a position to get fired or laid off or being late. Why are Christians lazy and late? You got to discipline yourself. You got to get your body in line. You know, to be able to go to bed at a decent hour and be able to get up without hitting the snooze button 4 or 5 times. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. I'm being very practical. You got to think differently. And then verse 3 brings us into a faith thing. We got to believe differently. See, our faith should be released regularly in 4 primary areas. Faith in God. Jesus said, have faith in God. We just talked about that in August. Have faith in God. Secondly, faith in the blood. Thirdly, faith in the name of Jesus, because we're told in Colossians and other places in the New Testament, do all things in the name of Jesus. Go to work in the name of Jesus. Cook that dinner in the name of Jesus. Clean the house. Make up the bed in the name of Jesus. Faith in the name. You got a wayward child or somebody that's gone off the reservation, you put your hands on their clothes in that bed in the name of Jesus. When they come sleep in this bed, praise God, the Holy Ghost is going to fall on them. Praise God. The anointing and the power of God is going to be released in this situation. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, woo. Do all in the name of Jesus. You tell the devil to get out of your house. In the name of Jesus. Walk around your property while you're doing it. I can't do the lawn right now because I'm on a little restrictions, but I put a bloodline around there. Put a sign. No trespassing, devil. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Ain't going to be no demons manifesting in my house. Amen. Faith in the word of God. If the word says it, I believe it, and that what? That settles it. Praise God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Then we read from verse 4. We're going to go back to verse 3 and 4 and 5 and kind of really emphasize this as we close. Verse 4 tells us we got to love differently. We got to labor differently. We got to lead differently. Because God didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. So you got to learn. Listen. Labor, lead from your fit and from your bent. How did God shape you? Every single one of us is different with unique experiences. Amen. Personalities, abilities, heart passions. God shaped you and I differently. He gave you spiritual gifts. We just read 7 of them. Everybody at least has one. But you're not supposed to not use it or misuse it or abuse it. You're supposed to use that gift. There's a law of use. If you don't use it, what the world say? You lose it. Amen. See, our place, our grace, our giftedness, we should spend 80% of the time and focus on the areas of our strengths in the kingdom. Stay in your strength zone. Don't get out of your place. Don't get out of your grace. And don't stop running your race. While you're alive, breathing, you got a race to run. You got a course to fulfill. Amen. So get in, fit in. And stay in the flow and flourish in your grace and in running your race. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So let's tie this all up with how to come to grips with the real you. Let's read verse 3 through 8 again, 3 through 8 again in the New Living Translation. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Listen to the warning. Write it down, highlight it if you need to. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. Measure yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong, key word there, to each other. In His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So the first focus or question I want you to answer for yourself is, how do you view yourself? First, He tells us not to think more highly. He gives us a warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest of your evaluation of yourselves. Measure yourself by the faith God has given us. Amen. And then just as our bodies have many parts, each part has a special function. Amen. Now listen at what the New American Standard 1995 edition says. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think, starts off negative, more highly than he ought to think, but to think, that's positive, that as so to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Everybody say, I have a measure of the God kind of faith. So this faith is just not for stuff or status. It's for service. Now, 4 points we get from this. Number one, God commands us to think accurately about ourselves. Now, if we went around and did a registered poll or something, how were you thinking? How many of you would say, I'm thinking accurately about myself, the way God told me to think? Now, we said it before. When you think too highly, remember Donnie was in that red masquerade, or you think too lowly, or when Dre was in the black one, of yourselves. They always result, listen to me very closely, in relational conflict and disunity. When you think too highly of yourself, or you think too lowly of yourself, self-pity. The other one's pride. You know, they got the air about them, that the whole world revolves around them, and they're the big boss with the hot sauce. They're not serving in humility and honor. They only serve because, well, I want everybody to look at me. Look at what I'm doing. You know, we're to serve to make Him look good and God look good, not us look good. Anytime you think too highly or you think too low, it's going to result in, mark this down, relational conflict. That means I can't get along with other people. I won't get along or go along with other people. You know how people just like to do things all their own? They don't like to work on the team. They're like these little independent balloons, air balloons that fly off and do their own thing. You know, church, The kingdom, the body of Christ, is a team. Faith is a team sport. They're getting ready to start football games, if they hadn't already, this afternoon. But there's not just one person on that football team. There's 11 that play on the field, but there's many more on the sideline. Are you listening to it? But it's all one, and may the best team win. Teamwork makes the what? Dream work. Are y'all here with me this morning? God wants you thinking right. When you think too high, you think, I don't need church. I don't need them. I don't need to do anything. I just buried my gift. We know about the parable of the talent. The guy did what? He buried his gift. He didn't use his gift. And too many Christians today are burying their gift instead of using their gift. See, this second point here, this is an admonition against pride or self-pity. Why is that? Because if I think too highly, I'm going to cause relational conflict and disunity. Because I want the attention on who? Me. Look at me. I got the red mask on. Look how good I am. Look what I made. Look what I've done. Look at my ministry. You only tolerate other ministries, but you only celebrate yours. Are y'all here? And that creates disunity, discord in the church, in the body. That's why he said in 1 Corinthians 12, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't have need of you. But God says, I don't want you even thinking that way. Not much less talking that way. I don't want you thinking that way. What do we need? We need every seat filled with people that belong to this body. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But we can't bury our talent. We can't bury our gifts. We have to use them. So pride and self-pity are demonic. We know pride goes before destruction. The opposite of humility is pride. Proud, being proud. God resists the proud, the Bible says in James. How do you get grace? How do you get the grace? Get humble. You got to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God so that he can exalt you. But see, faith is an act of humility. It says, God, you gave me this to use, not to abuse or misuse or not even use. You gave me this gift to use. So humility says, Lord, I'm yours to use as you choose. That's why we use the word lazy. Because that's what he told the one talent Christian. You wicked and lazy, slothful servant. You're not using what I gave you. I'm looking down. I think we need, y'all pray for me. Praise God. See, there's danger and destruction in seeing ourselves only with an inflated view. But also either a deflated view. Pride and self-pity, most simply, is a preoccupation and a focus on ourselves. And you got to practice not only in private at home, but also in public in church. That's why we say when you come through the door, you should ask yourself two questions to keep yourself balanced and focus on the right things. Who do I help? And what can I learn? So people in pride don't think they can learn anything from me teaching. I already know that. I already heard that. Can't learn anything. So you're too proud. Or you're too pitiful, engrossed in self-pity, where you feel like, I'm not good enough to get that, to have that. See, helping other people gets you out of yourself. Lord, you're driving them to the parking lot. Lord, even online, who do you want to encourage? If you're an encourager, he said you should be encouraging, not discouraging. They come in looking at you, you're looking, ooh. Lord, who do you want me to help? What do you want me to learn? So if we took a survey after the church, and said, what'd you learn today? Pastor Mark did that with us, right? He had us all go around. He passed the mic around. What'd you learn? Taught some good stuff. But most people just get emotional, excited. Oh, yeah, great, praise God. But did you learn it? You learn enough to write it down? Praise the Lord. See, our measuring stick and standard of judgment is summarized by who we are in Christ. And fourthly, our faith, we believe we to be, but also belong. There's no perfect church family. There's no perfect ministry. But we know we belong there at MHM. Why? We make a faith effort to go there, to the meetings, because we belong. That's our company. We belong with the Rhema Company. Amen. We got a meeting next month in October, but it's here in San Antonio, Region Retreat. We'll be there because we belong. Somebody say, praise God. But you put it on a small scale, you belong in church because that's your church. See, you be, if any man be, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ. Not try to be, not someday going to be, but be. He said, be in Christ. Be in Christ. Believe that you're going to be in Christ this week, all week, not in crisis. And belong, because belonging is a God-given need. It was in the garden. He created Adam and Eve to be, to belong and beget. Be fruitful. Be fruitful. What do you say? Be fruitful. Be blessed. Be fruitful. Multiply. Fill up the earth. He said be. He's telling you and me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, belonging is, in a way, moves us, is a way that moves us beyond the electronic connections of texting and social networking. It has to be. That's why it's better to be. Better to be here. Are y'all listening to me? This is good stuff, guys. Man, praise God. Hallelujah. See, discovering your identity in Christ without knowing where you belong is like getting all dressed up with nowhere to go. So I want to convince some of you, even online, that you belong here. So you got to step up before you step out and step into that place in that grace. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. But you, when you think too high, I'm too busy. I'm too burdened. I'm too bothered. When you think too low, woe is me. I got too many problems. We'll get in line. Everybody else does. So here's God's answer as we close. Y'all good? Who are you? He tell, what's the command? Think accurately about yourself. That's why you got to renew your mind. Verse 2. Before you get to verse 3, you got to do verse 2. You can't put the mask on and cover up who you are in Christ. And we, that's why we connected with MHM, because that's one of their major emphases of ministry. That's one of our major emphases as a church. Triumphant Word Christian Center. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. Where? In Christ. Woo! Making manifest the savor of his knowledge. So we're triumphant in Christ so that we can live victorious in life. Victory is our standard. Come on, it's our pathway that we should be living. Victory, victory, victory. And that comes through faith. Think accurately about yourself. Then where do you belong? Answer that question. Verse 4 and 5 tell us that. Right? What does it say? For we, as we all have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So I can't think too high that says, well, my ministry is better than yours. For me, I have to stay in my place and to do my part as pastor. But I can't have the big head. Everybody's important. Everyone has a purpose. Now, God didn't put gifts in you for the fun of it. But he put gifts in you for the function of his church. And you have to be faithful with it. You got to get a grip on who you really are. If you're not the preacher, don't be mad and sad about that. Be the best you're supposed to be. Use your gifts well. Are y'all here with me? What's the reason you need to know where you belong? Because you have a role to fulfill. We often said there's no unemployment in the body of Christ. Everybody, God didn't save you to take you to heaven because you ain't got no function down there. No, you here on earth for a reason. You have a job. It's a spiritual job. But you have a job, a role to fulfill, a part to play, a partnership to fulfill. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then third, this is God's answer. He answers us with questions. Who are you? Where do you belong? And then number three, what are you supposed to do? This is your practice. Have you been practicing your purpose? Have you been pursuing your purpose? Now, every one of us, including myself, have three purposes. A universal purpose. Everybody say universal purpose. A united purpose. And a unique purpose. Universal purpose is everybody in the body of Christ all over the world has the same. The great command, which is the love command, and the great commission. We all ought to be about, that's the Father's business. We got to love God and love people. Primary numero uno. We got to practice walking in love. You can't practice walking in love sitting at home. You got to love people that are different and other people who are difficult. Hallelujah. Those teams out there right now kicking off, they practice. You don't play without practice. Are you listening to me? So you got to get some practice in. And then the united purpose is the purpose of the church. You've been teamed up on a specific team called the local church body or ministry team to fulfill a certain purpose. That's your teamwork. But then you have a unique purpose. What are my gifts? What are my graces? What is the race that I'm told to run? Amen. That way you get in, fit in, based on your bent. And you belong there. And you begin to produce fruit there. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. Somebody say, hallelujah. Every one of us have at least one gift. Because we read it the other week before last, Romans 11:29. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. So God gives you gifts. A lot of times, plural, you have more than one. And then a calling to a place for a purpose with a plan. Why are you hanging around Triumph Word Christian Center? Why are you online? There's a purpose. Triumph Word Christian Center is a place. And God has a plan. this place. Somebody say hallelujah. Again, if you think too highly of yourself, you'll not see the need for other people. So it's okay for you to check out and be out for extended period of time. That's it's not okay with God because you're needed. Let me tell you one thing for sure. Everyone is needed. Amen. See, if you think too lowly of yourself, you'll not feel the worth or allow yourself to be loved by other people in the body. You know, some people, everything's always wrong. Everything's always got a long face, a long explanation. We always say this, get over yourself. Everybody say, get over yourself. Stop thinking too big. Stop thinking too low. Think accurately. Praise God. Would you stand to your feet? I think that's enough today. Y'all get something out of that today? Somebody say hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands and talk to God a little bit. Surrender to God about your life.